123.com.
This show furnished by Vinny Tortoridge.
He's Hollywood's go-to guy for health and fitness. It's Fitness Confidential with celebrity fitness trainer Vinny Tortoridge.
Your good intentions have been stolen, and I'm here to help you get them back. Call me now at 1-800-222-5222.
Yeah, a little GNR coming at you today. I love playing that GNR stuff. Old school, back from the 90s. Except 90s wasn't really old school for me. Anyway, you heard me say at the top of the show you could call me at 800-222-5222. Save it today because I'm pre-recording this because there's some things going on here. And we will figure that out later on, folks. You can call next week and get your calls in then. We will bring a great guy on. And I mean, this guy, you know, we make a joke now, make America great again. This guy just made America a little nicer, a little better place to live. He set a world record, a record that held for 30-some-odd years. We're going to bring Pete Kostelnik on in just a few minutes. I'm sure I've already screwed up his name. But he's got one of those tough last names to say. Folks, before we get into that, let me remind you who's paying for this gig, and that's my sponsor, Squatty Potty. That's right, Squatty Potty, folks. If you listen to my podcast, Fitness Confidential, you will learn that Squatty Potty is something that I love. I don't talk about anything on my show or anywhere in social media unless I actually use it and believe in it. That's why you hear me talk incessantly about things like Villa Capelli olive oil and, of course, Squatty Potty. And, folks, I am a little upset that I did not figure out this product because I could have been a bazillionaire. But Bobby Edwards figured it out of necessity. His mom had a little trouble going to the bathroom. Doctors couldn't figure it out. He figured out that these people over in Asia and India and some of these places, they just squat over a hole and go to the bathroom, and they have an easier time. Well, Bobby's mom is older. Her knees were a little weak. So he figured he would build a little kind of stool to help with her stool. So that's what he did. He created the Squatty Potty. It was a breakout on the show Shark Tank. Everyone loves Shark Tank. It was a breakout product in Shark Tank. And folks, we love it here. We want you to love it there. If you put in a promo code when you go to Squatty Potty, or you can go to VinnyTortoridge.com, and from there, click through the Squatty Potty banner. If you put in the promo code Vinny, V-I-N-N-I-E, 15, V-I-N-N-I-E, don't put the wimpy Y on Vinny, 15, you will get 15% off your entire order. The product is already inexpensive, but hey, every dime counts in this world today. Very happy to have on the line, I wish he was here in the studio, but we have him on the line, Pete Kostelnik. Pete, am I pronouncing your last name correctly?
Your guess is as good as mine, Vinny.
You know, I played football from, you know, like Little League all the way through college. And every time I would make my first tackle in a game, I would listen for my name over the announcement if we were out of town, because no one can get Tortoridge right either. It was on the tackle, Vinny Tortoridge. Okay, let's bring it up 2nd and 5. You know, it was never correct. Did you play sports as a kid, Pete?
Yep, yeah, and then I got a lot of them. I think my favorite was Costa Nickel.
There's no EL on the end
of it. I cost more than a nickel. Yeah, exactly.
Costa Nickel. But where's your family originally from, Pete?
So the name is actually Jack. So the best comparison I can think of is like Jeff Hornacek, because it used to be Kostelnicek, but yeah, it's like pronounced Kostelnicek.
So just like my family that went away from Tortorici when they came from Sicily, you guys went away from the full name. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yep.
Yeah. Because back in the day, we used to try to assimilate in this country. Now we're trying to do it the other way around. It's like, eh, let's make it a Spanish-speaking country, and everyone who speaks English should speak Spanish. My family came here from Italy. The first thing they did was learn English, because that was the predominant language. Now we do it the other way around. It makes no sense to me.
I hear you.
So, Pete, you look like, to me, when I see pictures of you, you look like an unsung hero. You know, I look at you and I don't go, this guy just did one of the most incredible feats known to man. But that's exactly what you did.
Yeah. That's one thing I think people are kind of amazed at. They hear this guy that ran across the country in record time. They kind of expect to see, they expect to see Usain Bolt, and then they end up getting David Spade.
Pretty much. I mean, you know, I was going to say, you know, you expect to see, you know, something between, like Rocky and, The Rock, Johnson. You know. But when you see you, you go, wait a minute, that guy did what? And how did he do it? And, you know, doing ultra sports, take me back a little bit. Were you always a runner? Were you that guy? You know, you're now like a modern day Forrest Gump, but were you always that guy?
No, not at all. I was kind of chubby, little leaguer baseball player growing up. That was really my focus. And I didn't really get into running until the end of high school. And I just to kind of get in better shape. And that was kind of the same thing towards the end of college. I did my first marathon about 8 years ago to really just to look a little better and feel a little bit better about myself.
Usually when you talk to ultra runners, they will say things like, I was on a cross-country team in high school. We won state, that kind of thing. Then I got away from it in college. And, slowly but surely, I came back to it and so on and so forth. That is not your story. You were a chubby kid. You played a little baseball. Next thing you know, you find yourself, you want to lose a little weight. That's usually why most people start running, right, in high school?
Mm-hmm.
But you're not taking it seriously still. How does that work out?
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of just one of those things that gravitated from a way to eat and drink a little more than the average person and get away with it. And then it kind of gravitated into something I wanted to be competitive at, to really kind of just like a way of life for me over these last 8 years.
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, because this is generally a health and fitness show. And the bottom line is, I always tell people you can't outrun a bad diet. And that's exactly what a lot of people do. I've often said, and you can tell me, I've seen people, I've trained people who said, I want to run my first marathon. And I'm training them for the marathon, and they find that they gain weight by the time they get to the starting line of the marathon. The one thing that they thought would make them really lean and sinewy, like some of these runners we see from Africa, they end up becoming bigger by the time they get to the starting line, which goes to the statement I always make every time I walk on stage or in my podcast: exercise is a poor way to lose weight. What say you on the subject?
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, even when I was putting in 200-mile weeks, I was still having to kind of consider the ramifications of what I was eating, because, you take a day off and you're used to pounding 4,000, 5,000 calories a day, and all of a sudden you take a day off and you gain a pound just because you're still eating the same amount of food as you were to begin with. So, over these last 5 years, I've gotten my weight down probably about another 15 to 20 pounds to be a little bit leaner runner. And I usually do it in the December to February time frame when I'm not running nearly as much.
You just said that you were running in some cases 200 miles a week. Put that in perspective to me and the number of hours you were spending per week running.
Usually about 4 hours a day on the weekdays, 2 hours before work and then 2 hours after work. And then oftentimes 5 to 6 hours on Saturday and Sunday. So let's see, that'd be about 30 to 35 hours a week.
Okay, 30 to 35 hours a week, the same amount of time that we would put in on bicycles, like if you're going to do Race Across America, people end up 27 to 32 hours a week of aerobic training. And you hear, now, folks, I want you to really hear that. Let me give you a little lesson here. If you think you're going to go to a spin class or to a hip-hop class or a gyrotonics class or any of these kumbaya classes, you know, the bottom line is, this guy was doing 30 hours of aerobics a week, and he wasn't losing any extra weight. Oh, I can almost hear the song right now. Oh, yeah. Yeah, just put that crap on and go to your local yoga class and see how that works out as far as losing weight. Oh, let me just relax for a second, Pete. Pete, did you listen to this kind of music when you were on the road?
Oh, I didn't have any music. So the first time I heard music in like 40 days was in eastern Pennsylvania, and I about lost it because it was kind of like you're deaf, you've been deaf for years, and you listen to music for the first time, and you're just like, what is this?
Well, you know, it's funny because in my ultra days, and we're going to have to break here in a second, but in my ultra days, I would, you know, people go, what do you listen to? And it's like, well, three things. Sometimes I'll listen to books, you know, on Audible and all that. Sometimes I would listen to music, and sometimes I would just listen to the wind. And I know that sounds like, you know, like an American Indian, hear the wind, feel the wind. No, but it really is a thing, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, it definitely is.
Folks, we're sitting here, we're talking to Pete Kostelnicki, as he would call it. Let me do it right, Pete Kostelnick. And we will be right back after this. We're going to drill down on how Pete actually got in shape, what he actually ate, and so on and so forth. You're listening to Fitness Confidential on 790 KABC. We will be back right after this.
Check out Vinny's podcast, Fitness Confidential, on iTunes or at VinnyTortorich.com. You can also follow him on Twitter, at VinnyTortorich.
What is it about buying a mattress that leaves you feeling violated? Pushy salespeople, fake sales, the walk of shame out of the mattress store? Those days are over. Hi, I'm Christian von Rickenbach, co-founder of Helix Sleep, where you can buy a mattress online, customized for you, for hundreds of dollars instead of thousands. Go to helixsleep.com, answer a few simple questions, and we build you the most comfortable mattress you'll ever sleep on. Shipping is free, and you have 100 nights to try it out. Go to helixsleep.com/talkradio and get $50 off your order. That's helixsleep.com/talkradio.
Not available in all states.
Hey, you two, what brings you to the mall?
We're just here checking on our robot.
Your robot?
Our recent Irby's Froyo robot. Diane and I became franchisees last month.
It serves frozen yogurt creations to customers in 60 seconds.
Recent Irby's provided us with everything we needed. They even help you secure amazing locations. Movie theaters, grocery stores, college campuses, theme parks. They make any location a sensation.
How do I get a Froyo robot of my own?
Just go to FroyoFranchising.com and enter promo code 5858. But hurry, because they're going fast. FroyoFranchising.com, promo code 5858.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our technical skills.
Our math. Our engineering skills.
You're going to need our help with your water. Your air. Your food.
You're going to need our organizational skills. Our problem-solving skills.
You're going to need our determination. Our honesty. Our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise, we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Why did the chicken cross the road? To go have breakfast with McIntyre in the morning, live from Penn's Restaurant, where good food and good people naturally come together. Friday morning, 5 to 10. Grab some breakfast, join the fun, and get smart. At the corner of La Cienega and La Tijera, delicious holiday fun from 790 KABC.
Yeah, normally I would tell you to call me at 800-222-5222, but hey, we're not taking calls because we're recording. This is not live tonight, but we will be live next week, so save your questions for then. Talking to Pete Kastelnik, who just set a world record, a record that held for 30-some-odd years. He ran across America from San Francisco to New York. He did it in 42 days, 6 hours and 30 minutes. Pete, how long did the record hold up?
So the record was set back in 1980 by Frank Gignano. So it stood for about exactly 36 years.
You know, I know a couple of guys who tried to break the record. I don't know Charlie Engel personally, but I think he tried for a bit. I know who else was out there trying. God, help me with his
yep.
name.
Yeah, Marshall. In 2008, the most notable one was him and Marshall Ulrich
going for it. Right, and at one point, I think they both got hurt. I can't remember which got hurt first. I know Marshall, I had drinks with him one night, and he told me he literally broke a foot and kept running for days on end, knowing that there was no way he would break the record, but he kept running on a broken foot.
Ridiculous. And he did finish.
Yeah. Which kind of shows you the fortitude. You know, people, I hate when people tell me, saying, I got a little tendonitis, you know, in my finger. I don't think I can run today. This guy ran across the United States, and halfway through, he realized he broke a bone in his foot, something that you would have to slap down to the ground, you know, a couple of gazillion times a day, and he still made it across the United States. Pretty amazing, right?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
He probably holds the world record for the only guy to run across the country on a broken foot.
Probably. A lot more people have climbed Mount Everest than run across the U.S.
Yeah, and by the way, Mount Everest is easy these days. They pump a lot of oxygen on you. You walk up. They give you some espresso halfway up. There's a Starbucks up there. You know, it's not even a thing anymore, right?
I guess.
I mean, you know, like every year there's like some new feat. Okay, this guy is blind. Okay, he still got feet. And the next year it's like, oh, we got a guy who's blind with no legs. Okay. And then the next year it's like, okay, we got a guy who's just a head. It's just a head. We're going to roll him up like a bowling ball, and then he's going to ski down. You know, every year, I mean, there's people snowboarding off the top. They might as well be at Mammoth Lakes. You know, just it's not even a thing anymore, is it?
No, I mean, that one guy, I think he's dead now, but he glided off the top of Everest, I think.
Yeah, I mean, think about that. It's like Summerland up there. It's like a park. They're just running up, hanging out, you know, drinking espresso. I heard that at base camp, you know, because I have a lot of friends who have done it. So this is not hearsay. This is coming right from my friends. It's like, oh, my God, you want to get laid? Go to base camp. Just go hang out at base camp. It's a party. Literally, it's a party. You know, you and I, Pete, should go up to base camp and just hang out for a while.
Well, yeah, we should one of these years. I'm all for that.
Yeah, let's just go. You know, we'll hang out in Kathmandu. You know, check it out. You know, fly a few prayer flags. You know, beat those drums, do everything they do. Then we'll just go up the hill and hang out, drink some espresso, maybe a little scotch. You know. You know what they say, what happens at base camp stays at base camp. It's crazy what they're doing up there, right?
Yeah.
So, Pete, there was a guy, and I don't want to get you in the middle of a controversy, but there was a guy who attempted the record a year or two ago, and he ended up cheating. Do you know who I'm talking about? I don't have his name here.
Yeah, that was this year, Robert Young.
So it's qualified that he cheated now, right? That's not hearsay anymore. He actually cheated.
Yeah. Of course, like he had a sponsor, I think Skins, and they actually sponsored, or they put together like an independent investigation to determine if he was cheating or not. And I think the conclusive evidence was that he was riding an RV for a significant amount of time overnight.
So the story is for the audience. In order to get the world record now, you guys have GPS trackers on your body, right? Like one or two. You had two of them on, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So this guy would at night would get in his van and have the van creep down the road at a running speed, like 4 miles an hour, right? While he was sleeping, he was gaining ground. Was that what I've heard?
Yeah. And basically, when you look at his progress, you know, from I think it was like midnight until 5 in the morning, he was clicking away at these, 7-minute miles, just constantly, not really wavering at all. And then all of a sudden, once the sun comes up, it's like Jekyll Hyde. He was all of a sudden slowing down to like 10 to 15 minutes per mile.
Wow. I mean, here's my question. Who does that? Who openly wants to cheat? I mean, let's say you break the world record. Let's say he had gotten away with cheating. How do you sleep at night knowing that you defrauded not just everyone else, but yourself? How does anyone live that way?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. And you know, I would like to hope that when he went into the run, maybe he was, wanting to go about it actually, you know, putting in the miles, and then maybe when he realized that maybe it was a little bit above his head and he was underwater, maybe that's when he decided to start. He got desperate. And I know, you know, a lot of ultra runners, we make rash decisions when we're tired. So I'm hoping it was one of those things where him and his support team made a rash decision and weren't planning on doing that all along. But yeah, it really boggles my mind because, you know, there's no reward waiting at the finish line. I mean, it's a pretty expensive endeavor to go into and to begin with. So you're really just doing it for pride. And so I don't really understand that at all.
You know, back in 1985 or something like that, I was just getting out, and I was out of college. I had a job working as a PE teacher. And, you know, I had gotten into cycling, you know, early on. And long before anyone in this country, long before there was any Lance Armstrong. And for guys, I was living out in New Orleans, and I would ride my bike everywhere. Because in college, turns out I couldn't afford my car anymore. So I just parked it, and I used my gas money to buy an inexpensive bike. And then I just became fascinated with the bike. And next thing I know, I was buying magazines that basically came from Europe. You almost had to go to like a comic store to buy old magazines to read about cycling, and because it wasn't on television. We had 3 channels back in the day. See, we had the 3 channels, and you know, so there was not a whole lot. And then Bicycling Magazine was out there, and I would read that, but that wouldn't tell you much about the guys racing in Europe and whatnot. And I remember reading a story about a guy named Pete Pensiers. So I guess if your name is Pete, pretty much you're destined to go from coast to coast. And I read about Pete Pensiers, and I thought it was pretty fascinating that he broke the RAM record. And RAM means Race Across America. And I was fascinated that anyone can ride a bike for that long. And I remember saying to myself back in 85, 86, whenever it was, I said, one day I'm going to be rich. Now, by the way, I didn't have a plan because I was a PE teacher. And I don't know if you know this, Pete, but PE teachers just generally don't get rich. But anyway, I said to myself, one day I'm going to be rich. I'm going to have a lot of money. And instead of going out and buying fancy cars and fancy houses and doing blow off of myself to ride a bike across the United States and go after this, right? And what I realized very quickly is there is no getting rich and doing it one day. I would have to fit it into my life. That's why in about 1992, when I started, you know, I moved to LA and I was riding the bike a lot, even more than I was before, I started looking into doing some ultra mountain bike racing and all that, which was kind of coming around at that point. But ultras were still really off the grid. As a matter of fact, triathlons weren't even on the grid, really. It was still kind of a newfangled sport. But as myself and Chris Kaufman and people like us back then, the one thing we figured out was you had to become a master of your own time, because if you had a job, you couldn't really do that job and cycle unless you gave up things and just mastered your time. How did you go about doing that?
Yeah, that's a great point, because this year really wasn't ideal for me or my wife, and we don't have kids yet, though, so that was one of the big deciding factors was, I think the reason this record has stood for so long, you know, besides the fact it was such a high bar to meet, is by the time ultra runners get into enough experience and know what the hell they're doing, they have kids and a career that's tying them down from doing a run like this. So that was on my mind. And then just knowing that, you know, this was probably going to be the 1 year that I would have maybe to ask work if that would be okay. And so thankfully I have a very, very gracious employer who allowed me to take a 7-week leave. But yeah, it was just one of those things where nothing seemed to line up ever to do this. So I just kind of had to squeeze it in and just make it work, even though it didn't really seem like that good of an idea at the time.
Okay, what we're going to do here, Pete, is, you know, we got to pay the bills, so we're going to take another break. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk to Pete to figure out exactly how he did it, how he worked life, wife, and running in, and how many races he did leading up to this, because there are people out there who want to know. Folks, remember, support our sponsor, Squatty Potty. Squatty Potty has a promo code. You go to squattypotty.com, put in a promo code Vinny, V-I-N-N-I-E, 1-5. And also Pure Vitamin Club, purevitaminclub.com. It's a company I own. I guarantee they're the purest vitamins on the planet. You're listening to KABC 790 AM. We will be back right after this.
Check out Vinny's podcast, Fitness Confidential, on iTunes or at vinnytortorich.com. You can also follow him on Twitter, at vinnytortorich.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-324-0629 and use promo code KABC. That's 800-324-0629. Or go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code KABC.
This is Nnamdi Asamoah. I play football for the Philadelphia Eagles, but what I do off the field with United Way might be more important. I'm a volunteer tutor and mentor. Why? Because over a million kids a year drop out of school, and that's not okay. It takes 12 years to create a graduate, but it takes about the same time to create a dropout. And the difference between a child becoming one or the other could be me, or it could be you. Studies show that if we get to these kids earlier, their chances are better. And kids who read well by third grade are more likely to graduate. So join me in United Way. Suit up and take the pledge. Become a volunteer reader, tutor, or mentor. Because when a child succeeds, we all succeed. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way, the Ad Council, and the National Football League.
You know, one of the things that happens when I'm traveling a lot and I'm tired and I'm not sleeping in my own bed.
You say things.
I say crazy things sometimes.
I mean, once you called me your lover, people were like, what?
And once I called you my liver.
That'd be closer.
Oh, yeah.
It's more alcohol absorbed. Let's be real.
The Drive Home with Jillian Barbary and John Phillips.
Weekdays 3 to 6.
On Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yeah, you're listening to 790 KABC. I'm not going to give the call-in number because we're pre-recording today. And there's no way for you to call in and ask questions. But next week you can, and we will work it that way. We're talking to a guy who just set one of the most impressive records out there. Pete Kostelnik ran coast to coast. He did it in 42 days, 6 hours and 30 minutes. Not just breaking the record, but pretty much shattering the record. Pete, how many days did you knock off of the previous record?
Right exactly about 4 days. It was 46 days and change.
Wow. And look, I got to tell you, before you started running, we share a masseuse, Cinder Wolf. And, Cinder was telling me, oh, yeah, I'm going off with this guy, Pete, and the whole thing. And she was telling me about the crew and the crew van and the whole thing. And I've crewed for Ram and that kind of thing. And I was saying, well, do you guys have this? She goes, well, no. And I was like, do you guys have that? And she said, oh, well, no. And I was like, are you guys really ready to do this? And she was like, yeah, and he's going to run X amount of miles per day. And I said, did he check with people like Marshall Ulrich and some of these people? And he goes, she goes, yeah, I think he has. I got to be honest with you, Pete. I thought what you were getting ready to try to do was pretty crazy, but you, in fact, pulled it off. Tell me about that. Tell me about your training plan and how you keyed up and how you got ready to do this.
Yeah, my training plan was really nothing but running. I always like to do things on the side like biking or even swimming or lifting weights, but this year I was kind of going for broke and just said, okay, I'm going to squeeze in as many miles as I can. Basically, any time I'm not working or sleeping or doing anything other social, I'm going to be running. So essentially, I was doing 200 miles a week getting ready for this for majority of the year, and that would look like usually doing 2 hours before work and 2 hours after work, and then the 30 to 50 mile runs on the weekend as well. And that was really about it. I mean, I was just kind of putting my body through as much hell as I could to get used to as many miles as possible leading into the run.
Now, you've done the Badwater 135 twice or three times?
I've done it three times and won the last 2 years.
Yeah, and won in impressive times. I mean, you set a new record, right, on the last course?
Yep, this last year.
Because the year before, if I remember right, didn't we have that bastardized course where you ran from Lone Pine in a weird circle and back again or something?
Oh, yeah, in 2014, they had the Cerro Gordo route.
Yeah, it was because, folks, you're going to love this. Out in California, we have a world-class event. Well, you would agree with that, right, Pete? The world literally shows up for this race. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's one of those races that kind of transcends ultra running, and I think it just has a lot of human interest across the world.
Yeah, it starts at the lowest point in the contiguous United States, one of the lowest points on the planet, in Badwater, California, which is in the heart of Death Valley. You run 135 miles. You have to go Overtown Pass. You have to get out of Death Valley by going Overtown Pass. That's a 5,000-foot climb from below sea level to over 5,000 feet. And then you drop down into Panamint Valley. Again, you're in searing heat. The heat can reach 120 degrees. This race goes off in July, right, Pete?
Yep.
The hottest place on the planet, the lowest, yada, 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 and you're going up literally to the portal at Mount Whitney at 8,200 feet. So you start the race at the lowest point, and you're pretty much heading up Mount Whitney, the highest point in the contiguous United States, correct?
Correct.
135 miles. People literally come from around the world to do this. But we live in California, the Republic of California, and we do things a little differently here. There's never been an accident ever. The race has been going on for how many years, Pete?
It's been probably at least about 30 years.
30 years. Has there ever been any death in the race? Anyone ever die?
No, never. No.
Anyone ever get injured, get hit by a car, anything like that?
No, not as far as I'm concerned.
No one has. I can tell you point blank. The same guy, Chris Kostman, who owns that race, owns the, my beloved race, the 508, which starts at, you know, Magic Mountain and goes through Mojave Desert and then crosses over Town Pass the opposite way through Panamint Valley and then goes through Death Valley and comes out in 29 Palms. That's a 508-mile race on a bicycle. Done it several times. I love that race. That race went on for 29 years. You want to guess at how many deaths happened in that race?
Goose egg.
Huh?
None.
Zero. Goose egg. You want to know how many injuries happened in that race due to car accidents or anything like that?
None.
Zero. But the people over the federal government, you know, the people who have way too much time on hand, the bureaucrats, decided, you know what? We want to look into this. We want to look into the safety of this race. Now, the way they wanted to look into the safety of the race was by stopping the race so that they can study it for a year. Does that make any sense to anybody? Is anyone buying into this? All they want, I see my producer in the booth, David, he's doing the money sign with his fingers where you take your thumb and rub it across your four fingers. Yeah, that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to just steal money from the race. And by the way, let me ask you this, Pete. You have any idea how much money that area, Death Valley, gets from Badwater every year?
I think it's like $1 million a year.
It's over a million. It's closer to $2 million. These hotels, that was like Christmas Day. Nobody's going out to Death Valley. It's called Death Valley, for God's sake. It's called Death Valley. And by the way, they're out there doing this and stopping people. It's like, we're going to study this race. We're going to figure, oh, Jesus Christ. Let me just calm down for a second. Just give me a second, Pete. I got to remember my chant. Sog paneer. Chicken tikka. Cauliflower bhaji. Okay, I'm better. I mean, it drives me nuts. Yeah, there I go again. The whole thing drives me nuts that they literally cut this race out that brings millions of dollars to these people in the desert, and our government decided, we need to take a look at this. Let's study it by taking the race out of the desert. But did that stop the race? No. That was an abbreviated route. It was still 135 miles. Guess what? The race still went on, and they didn't use Death Valley. Great job, government. You know exactly what the hell you're doing. I didn't mean to go off on a rant, Pete. But that happens.
No, I hear you. I was just as upset because that was the first year I got into the race. It was the alternate course. And so that was, that was ridiculous.
You had to feel cheated, right?
It wasn't even the bureaucrats necessarily. Like, I think even the congressman, senator, and they're all for it. And it was just, I think, one lady maybe within the national park system that was holding off and wanting to destroy the race.
The word I heard on her was that, number one, she was see you next Tuesday, number one, and apparently everyone in the department hated her, and I think she had the gig in Hawaii, doing the state parks in Hawaii, but they hated her so much there that they threw her out in the desert, and she was like a snake that was being prodded. And she looked around and said, oh, what's this that comes through the desert every year that brings millions of dollars to this desert? Let's just cut that out. Let's cut out a world event where people literally come from around the world. Let's just cut that out. And you know what? Let's cut poor Pete Kostelnik short on his first time in the race. Unbelievable. Pete, I was out there that year because a buddy of mine was actually running it. I tell people to eat no sugars and no grains. And do you know Tony Patera at all? Have you met Tony?
Yeah, I met him.
Yeah, I was training Tony with diet and everything. So I went out there. We actually did a podcast from the race before the race started. I was out there the following year crewing for Tony again. That was the first year that you guys started at night. Is that correct?
Correct, yep.
So it was a nighttime start, and I crewed for Tony that year. I was out there then. I love going out to that race. So You shattered the record in that race, right?
I did this year. Yeah, I won it last year in 2015, and then broke the course record this year in 2016.
You say these things, you know, like an unsung hero. I'm like, you shattered records, and you're like, yeah, I did. And I took my wife to dinner. Right? I mean, does any of this mean anything to you?
Oh, it means a lot, but you know, I've noticed that once I do something, I always want to do it better. So, you know, I'm always thinking about how can I do it better, because there's always, you know, the 5 minutes I was dinking around using Biffy bags this year and stuff like that. So, like, all right, next time I go, I'm going to find a better way to get around that and get a better time.
So you're constantly trying to hone, you know, what you're doing. You know, we would do that with the bicycles, you know, what position to be in, where are we most efficient, and so on and so forth. But it's great that you're not giving up on this, that you're doing more and more and more. Pete, we got to run to break again. Hang with me. Can you stay with me one more segment? Is that cool?
You bet. Yep.
Okay, hang with me. We're going to take a quick break. Folks, remember, Squatty Potty is where you want to go. Go to SquattyPotty.com, put in the promo code Vinny, V-I-N-N-I-E. Don't put the wimpy Y. Vinny, 15. You will get 15% off your entire order. We love them here. We want you to love them there. We're talking to Pete Kostelnik, who just set one of the most impressive records in sports history. We will be back with him right after this. You're listening to 790 KABC.
Check out Vinny's podcast, Fitness Confidential, on iTunes or at VinnyTortorich.com. You can also follow him on Twitter, at Vinny Tortorich.
If you're a millennial, a snowflake, or are wearing a safety pin, put on your big boy pants, because this stuff's about to get real.
To hear more, tune in to Sam Nation, weeknights at 7 p.m. on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Hey! Is that a faucet running?
Nope, that's not a faucet. That's a river rushing through the forest.
It is?
Yeah. Forest rivers provide over 100 million people with clean water to drink. The water comes straight from the forest to us, in fact.
What? I can't hear you because of the vacuum.
That's not a vacuum. That's the trees in the forest cleaning up the air we breathe.
How do trees clean the air?
They soak up the dirty air on their leaves, branches, and trunks, which means clean air for us.
Cool. I didn't know that.
Yep. But the forest does more than give us clean air and water. It gives us shade for hot days, birds to listen to, and trees to climb.
Wow. That's awesome. I didn't know how cool the forest could be. Hey, let's go explore some more.
Visit the forest today and enjoy all it does, just for you. To learn more about the forest and find one near you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
790 KABC.
You would normally call 1-800-222-5222, but not today because we're pre-recording. You're listening to 790 KABC. I am Vinny Tortorich. We have on the line Pete Kostelnik, who just set one of the most impressive records of note in the world. And Pete, you know, you were doing this kind of in the heat of one of the craziest presidential elections we've ever had. I pretty much looked at what you were doing as kind of a shining light to what was going on otherwise in this country. Did anyone else make this weird connection, or was it just me going, wow, here's something good that's coming out of all of this crap?
Yeah, I think a lot of people did. You know, that was kind of part of the fun of going for this record in 2016 was Marshall Ulrich reading his book about him and Charlie Angle's run in 2008. They did it during the presidential election that year as well. So, yeah, I think there was an immediate connection to when they ran and then, you know, running with people all day and seeing all the really pretty much only Trump signs across the country running in some of the rural areas. It was probably about 99% Trump.
You know, I knew you were out there doing that. Of course, we had a friend connected to the whole thing, Cinder Wolf. And every now and then, someone would send me a link, an email, and they would go, hey, you know about this guy? And I'm like, yeah, of course. And it made me realize that not everybody knew what was going on. I never saw any news reports on it. As you got closer, you would think, look, if someone takes off from San Francisco and they get hurt in Bakersfield, you go, oh, okay, well, that was nothing. But once you start making your way across the United States, you're 20 days in and you're ahead of the record. I got to be honest, I didn't see what we should have seen as far as someone getting ready to break the kind of record that was broken. Did you feel the same way or did you see things happening?
Yeah, I would say I agree with that for the most part because, you know, even as far east as Pennsylvania, even on the last day that I woke up, you know, I started running at midnight, so it was probably a little early for most people. But, there were a lot of days where, you know, no one really knew who I was or what the heck I was doing out there. But, you know, at the same time, I kind of liked that because there was never very much pressure for me to live up to any certain expectations.
Yeah, but you know what? Maybe there should be a pressure because, you know, we don't have heroes anymore. As a matter of fact, we live in a world now where we almost hate the fact that someone gets ahead and someone is doing something good because, you know, nobody wants to have that light held up, you know, don't hold that mirror up to me. You know, when you think about it, take Kim Kardashian, for instance, right? Someone asked me one day, what does Kim Kardashian do for a living? Let me ask you the same question. What do you think Kim Kardashian does for a living?
Try to make my life miserable.
Okay. But besides that, Kim Kardashian makes millions of dollars. What do you think she's actually doing? If you could say one thing that Kim does to earn her money, can you put a label on it? Can you say anything?
No, not at all.
Okay, I figured out what Kim does for a living. You ready?
Yep.
She walks to and from the car. Think about it. Whenever you see a photo of Kim Kardashian, it's Kim is walking to her car. Kim is now getting out of her car. Right?
I love that, yeah.
Have you ever seen her do anything else? That's it, right?
No, I've seen her ride on a motorcycle, too. I think that's about it, though.
Yeah, but Kim Kardashian rode a motorcycle. Look, she literally had a porn video done with a guy. You know, at first they were calling him a rapper, but he wasn't even a rapper. He was adjacent to a rapper or a singer or something. He was no one, right? So she literally has sex. Number one, let's go back a step. She's no one. She's absolutely no one. She's still no one. Her dad was no one. He was a failed attorney who happened to glom on to an NFL star who killed someone. So if we take it all the way back, you know, people go, Bob Kardashian was actually OJ's attorney. No, he wasn't. He couldn't get OJ out of a parking ticket. This guy was nothing. He was less than nothing. They even do movies about it. Oh, they get David Schwimmer in the movie. Oh, Uncle Juice. We call him Uncle Juice. Really? Really, David Schwimmer? Dude, you got all the money in the world. You got to do that piece of crap movie? But Uncle Juice, really? Are we doing this? Is that where we're heading? So the name Kardashian comes out of the fact that an NFL player kills his wife. That's why Kim Kardashian, the name Kardashian is even on anyone's lips. The part people forget is, what's his name now? Caitlyn? Is that what we're going with? We can't say Bruce Jenner. I grew up with Bruce Jenner. I'm growing up with Bruce Jenner. Okay?
Yeah.
Bruce Jenner, people don't know this. Bruce Jenner was actually running out of money. He was losing his house in Hidden Hills. It was on the news. They were putting this on the news. And then all of a sudden, his stepdaughter, one of Kardashian's kids, gets found out that she did a porn video with a nobody, a guy that's done nothing in life with this woman, right? And that becomes famous. Now, how does Kim Kardashian make money? Well, she makes it on that video. People still buy that video. Kim owns that video. That money comes from that video, period. And how does she go about marketing that video? Walking back and forth to the car. And she's been making money ever since, walking back and forth to the car. Now, Pete Kastelnik doesn't get to do that. Pete has to run 3,057 miles. And still, Pete can't get anything out of it. He gets nothing. Let me ask you this, Pete. Do you have a porn video?
No, unfortunately, I don't. It sounds like I need one.
No, but, you didn't think ahead. Yeah, that's the problem. You need to think ahead.
Yeah, and that, I mean, that's what I'll put on it is, you know, is I think the self, I mean, the pride from something like this. You know, I think when Ms. Kardashian goes to bed at night, I just love to see what grinds her brain because, you know, does she get pride in walking to and from the car every day? And, you know, that's one thing that just kind of boggles my mind.
I don't think she cares because here's the thing. She is living in a world where she thinks money can solve all problems. And you can't, it doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. Right? So she's, you know, I live in Hollywood where people think money is going to solve every problem. And money doesn't solve every problem, right? She still has to live with the fact that she's naming her kid South or something, or Southeast or whatever. What's her name? David, you got a mic in there? What's that kid's name?
Northwest.
You're not making that up, right, David? You're not making that up.
Not at all.
Okay, the woman is so out to lunch, she married a guy with the last name West, so she goes, oh, it would be a cute thing. Let's name the kid North, Northwest. Ha, ha, ha. Guess what? That kid has to grow up and go to whitey-only school in the valley somewhere and then have a life calling himself Northwest. It makes no sense. It makes absolutely no sense. I get it. You're a financial analyst by day, but I ain't going to get you anywhere. You want to have kids one day? And by the way, you don't have to run across the country after that. You just have to walk back and forth to your car.
That's right.
I didn't mean to go off on a tangent here, but that happens every now and then, you know?
That's all I do is go off on tangents.
You must go nuts. I mean, in your head, you must just go crazy, right?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it. Pete, we're going to have to go here in a second, but I'm going to ask you on the air, because if I ask you on the air, you can't say no. Would you promise to come on my podcast?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I'd love to be on.
Yeah, you know, you'll have to be subjected to more of me ranting about Kim Kardashian. You do realize that, right?
Well, good. And everything's up for grabs, so we can do whatever.
Cool. So, Pete, you guys, you heard it here. He's coming on the podcast. Pete, what's next for you?
Getting back into it. You know, I have a strong itch to get back into racing, so I'll be back at Badwater hopefully next year, even though I'll be maybe shuffling my feet for a while trying to get into the race, because it'll be 8 days after the World 24-Hour Championships over in Northern Ireland, so it'll be a busy July.
Wow. So aside from being an analyst, you have that. You're going to the 24-Hour World Championship. You're going back to Badwater. You're doing it all. This is unbelievable. Pete, hang on. I want to say goodbye to you off the air. Folks, you know what to do. If you like what you hear here, there's more of it by going to VinnyTortorese.com. I have a podcast called Fitness Confidential. I have a book called Fitness Confidential. And by the way, I have the world's purest vitamins. How do I know that? Because I make them myself. This is not Ray J making vitamins. This is Vinny Tortorich making vitamins. Okay? Don't mess around. Go get purevitaminclub.com. Go check it out. We have the world's best vitamins at the world's lowest price. I've made a Rolls Royce. You know the car that Kim Kardashian walks to? I made a Rolls Royce, but I sell it at a Toyota Tercel price. Folks, purevitamin.com. Go check it out. Support our sponsor, Squatty Potty, on behalf of Pete Kastelnik, the guy who just ran 3,057 miles. My name is Vinny Tortorich. Put life into living and do it with enthusiasm.
Check out Vinny's podcast, Fitness Confidential, on iTunes or at VinnyTortorich.com. You can also follow him on Twitter, at Vinny Tortorich.
This show furnished by Vinny Tortorich.
My name is Dale Pazinski. I volunteer with United Way to help the homeless in my community.